The drug problem in America today seems to stagger the human mind. It is confusing and is twisting the minds of honest to good young people that could be someone and could be used highly in the church. Kids that could be ministers, kids that could be good laymen, kids that could be good deacons and Sunday school teachers are being deceived today all across America into the fact thinking that the only way to be popular is to trip out on drugs and have a good time using drugs. And I can speak from a point of view because for 5 years I was a heroin drug addict. I shot drugs into my veins for just about 5 years, shooting heroin. I began a life that was a terrible life. Slowly was deceived into the fact believing that my only way out to find myself was by using drugs. And so in this heart-to-heart talk with you that are listening to this recording, I like to expose the dangers and the pitfalls and the problems that people are having today with drugs, especially our young people and our generation across America, thrives on drugs. We're living in a pill-oriented society where people need to take pills to get up, pills to go to bed at night, pills for everything. And so the world that we're living in is definitely in need of something from God. And the only help that this world can ever receive will be a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. The deception of the garden, first of all, never stopped. The snake is still loose. And there are many forms and many facets which this snake will produce itself into. One of the leading problems that the American people are facing is the drug problem. So we're going to deal with this whole tape with the drug problem. And of course, drug problem has many facets of different ways which it turns to. It turns to rebellion, hatred toward parents, turns into sex and alcoholism. And all of these things are a direct result of drug abuse. But let's turn to our own understanding and let's turn to what God has to say concerning the drug problem and what situations people faced here. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 18 and verse 23, "And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For the merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." The Bible's telling us that a group of people and nations right here were deceived by sorceries. The word sorcery comes from a Greek word, which it's parakopalia is how you say it. And pharmacy and pharmaceutical drugs are a direct result of this. Now, these men in the Bible, this is during the political kingdom and the upraising of Babylon, political Babylon. The world political system was taken over in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. And this is the angelic view of Babylon, the great city who had spent, and you read verse 19, it was rich, they had ships, they had sea shores. And in 1 hour, she was totally destroyed because of their sorceries and their wickedness and the way they live. But today, we are seeing an uprising, and we are seeing Babylon being reenacted in the streets of our cities, in the parks of our cities, in the colleges of some of our cities, and a very frightening thing is happening. To the untrained eye and to the untrained ear, this may be something that we don't worry about because it's never affected our home. It's never really hurt us. It's never really badgered our home, and it's never really enslaved our young people. But the devil is a tricky, very person who tries everything in his power to deceive all that he can. And some people, in their lack of understanding of what the Bible has to say, they have not even seen All they have is heard, but they haven't seen one drop in the bucket of what's happening. Sorceries, the illegal distribution of drugs, is taking over our land and our country. For instance, the first step that young people usually turn to if they're going to use any kind of drugs, and I consider alcohol a drug, will be alcohol. It would begin with innocently drinking beer, having that occasional drink with the fellas in school, and of course if you don't join in with them, they call you a sissy and call you every kind of name to try to tell you that you just don't mix with the crowd because you don't want to drink and do as they're doing. And so automatically this turns youth off because they're being called names, and these problems plague our young people. Alcohol, it's a killer. And it is the number one drug that usually instigate and lead into using other kinds of drugs. Cigarettes, nicotine, is destroying many people. As a direct result of the medical history and finding, we find that cigarettes, it's hazardous to people's health. It's creating lung cancer all across our country and our land today. Untold thousands of people are finding themselves badgered by this problem. And we have not seen yet what this drug problem is going to do. Alcohol. How many kids come home drunk every night? Sometimes they sneak in. Parents never get to see them, how they come in. They never look at the pupil and the eyeballs as they turn red. The staggering and the limping. How many people have gotten in trouble? How many kids with good morals and good upbringing at a weak moment hang around with some friends and then begin to drink the beer and then finally went to whiskey and then finally they brought out the sticks of marijuana. Marijuana is a form as term grass. It's just like grass that you see out there in the street. Grass right in front of your house. It's green. And it's just little leaves, and they chop them up, and they roll them up, and it turns into tobacco. You stick it into some white paper, roll it up into a cigarette, and you smoke it. And in a matter of 3 or 4 minutes, kids are giggling and laughing. As a direct result of marijuana, they begin to do silly things. They laugh at silly things. They make fun at silly things. Things that to you are normal, they would be laughing at. They begin to giggle and laugh. And then when marijuana begins to wear out, then kids begin to get hungry. Their appetite begins to get larger and they begin to eat because it's wearing out. They get sleepy and tired and depressed. They're not able to sit in class and listen. And this is one of the aftermath of marijuana. And many times in our Sunday school classes across our churches, whether they're Assembly of God and whether they're Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran, we find kids that are slouching in Sunday school classrooms, slouching in the back pews of our churches, and they're sitting there nodding away because they've spent the evening before, they have spent it smoking marijuana, and they're crashing down, so they are going to crash down right in our churches. And this is happening, and it's happening right under the nose of some very innocent parents who do not understand what's taking place. And the sorceries and the merchants and the great men of the earth lit their candles, brought the marijuana out, brought everything out, and they have deceived an entire nation through a system of marijuana. Never before has our nation been so deceived, so warped into believing this. And wow, what a tragedy when we see kids that have to die. Many of my friends have died as a direct result of drug abuse. There is definitely a satanical conspiracy going on, and the devil has got an attack on all people and on all young people. And there is coming a new teenage problem to America today, a problem that will completely overshadow drugs, sex, and alcohol. And this problem will be brought onto young people by the use of drugs, alcohol, and sex. And that's hatred toward parents. This is happening so much. People are despising living under the same roof with their parents. Rebellion is tearing kids up. Strife, they're torn between two opinions. The opinions of their friends. Their friends are telling them your parents are a bunch of old fogies. They don't understand you. They're too old-fashioned. They're too square. We have set aside the standards of genuine Holy Ghost standards in our home have been falling because we have bowed down to the requests of our kids, because everyone in school is telling our kids that that was the old-fashioned way to doing things. And I want to tell you right here, as you sit in your home listening to this tape, whether it's a group, whether it's a Sunday school class listening to this tape, no, I don't care what kind of group it is, let me tell you something. I believe that we can still have old-fashioned Bible standards and still have joy and peace and love and happiness and contentment that is not found in the world, and still not be despised by the world. We have got the idea that we are supposed to be a despised, a rejected, a put-off, half-hearted people just because we're Jesus people and just because we're Christians. And there is a gap that is being it's so hard to be filled by people today. And you know what the gap is not? You know why it's not being filled? We have went the wrong way about it. We have pampered those kids who have come with problems. They smoke marijuana. They trip out on the alcohol. They cruise and booze around town. And we have tried to fill the gap by buying our kids new cars, maybe a new phonograph, maybe a new suit, maybe a brand new dress for the little girl. We have tried to fill the gap by trying to make deals with our kids. And the only thing that will ever fill the vacancy and the void and the unhappiness and the restless spirit is a good old-fashioned relationship and an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I still believe this is the answer to people who are on drugs. Jesus said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Finally, we come to another drug that is taking over our land, and it's being such a detriment to people and homes across America. Not only is marijuana, and we could, of course, we could go into more about this marijuana and tell you more about it, but when kids smoke it, I've already told you, they laugh, they giggle, they act stupid and dumb. And by the way, friends, you that are listening to me, young kids in schools are not the only ones smoking marijuana. We have college professors smoking it. There are doctors smoking it. There are lawyers smoking it. There are business people smoking it. There are some supposed to be church-going people smoking marijuana. And they think it's just something you do, something to relax. It's a sedative to relax and have a good time. They see nothing wrong with getting out of the spiritual realm of Christ and smoking marijuana. College professors are doing it in a school in the state of Indiana. There was three teachers on the board that were identified by students for selling marijuana. And you know what they did? They suspended them for a few days. When the trial came, the charges were dropped, and the teachers are teaching back in school again. Now, this information came to me by a different source. This is what they told me. I'm just telling you what they told me. And these things are happening in our country that is supposed to believe in God we trust. Instead of trusting in God, we're trusting in marijuana, we're trusting in alcohol, and it's becoming so terrible and so frightening. But you see, it begins with that alcohol. It begins with that regular cigarette, that Lucky Strike, that Camel, that Philip Morris, that Marlboro, that Salem, that Coors, that Winston. It begins with the simple cigarette smoking, and it turns to the alcohol, then it turns into the marijuana. And then when kids are high on marijuana, and when their minds is covered and permeated and saturated by the influence and the power and the demonic approach and emotion stirring demonical powers begin to cover the minds of our young people under the influence of marijuana. Sad to say, friend, and I know that some of the things that I will be telling you on this tape may embarrass you, may cause you to blush, but sad to say, girls and boys under the influence of marijuana are committing the sins of illicit sex and fornication and adultery is permeating our land. Girls at the age of 14 have to walk around with their heads hanging down in shame as they walk the streets, knowing that they do not have a father for the baby they're carrying. They get involved in an affair because at the moment they felt good. They thought there was nothing wrong with it, and they went all the way. But if we can instill Holy Ghost power and Holy Ghost love and Bible teaching into our kids and present Jesus as a total satisfier of the soul, then our kids don't have to go. People don't have to go beyond the sanctuary to try to find peace and happiness and contentment in some kind of anesthetic or drugs. We can find it in knowing Him in the power of His resurrection. And so marijuana is destroying the moral structure of our young people. And the thing that bothers me about marijuana and alcohol and smoking cigarettes, these three go in so well together. The reason I know they go in so well together, because I smoked cigarettes and did alcohol for years and smoked marijuana for years. And the thing that frightens me, I go into some people's homes And some people are not really saved, and they do not profess to be Christians, and they don't try to put on a front, say they are Christians. But I go into some homes, and I see the way that some parents, for instance, in the Puerto Rican homes, I'm Puerto Rican, and in the Spanish-speaking homes in New York City and in Philadelphia, well, they take the little kids, and there may be a party hanging around, because I don't go to parties anymore. But when I was young, you know, we had parties, and I used to go to parties, and some of the parents would have their 4-5-year-old kids there, and they would bring him up and put the bottle of beer to his mouth and let him drink a little bit, and the little boy would his face would wrinkle up, and his eyebrows and all of that stuff. He would, ooh, like the taste was bad. And the mother and the father would sit there in a very innocent way and begin to smile and begin to laugh at how his face got so ugly and the funny faces he made because he didn't like the taste of beer. And we laugh at this, and the kid laughs at it. And the same way with cards. They give cards to kids to play. Maybe perhaps they may be gambling. And they laugh at how the kids begins to throw cards and mimic the parents. And before too long, what they don't know it. And the thing that bothers me is they do not know, friend, that when they are doing this, they are not only digging their own grave, they're digging the grave of their own sons and daughters. They are the ones that are literally nailing the coffin down to put away a young teenager who will become an alcoholic, perhaps, who will become a drug addict, who will become a sex fiend or a maniac, or one of these crazy people that are permeating our country today. Friend, I want to tell you something. Alcohol has not done one bit of good to any American person. Alcohol has not helped any person in his health. Marijuana has not helped us enhance our ability to learn. Oh, I know some college professors in my tours to colleges and high schools and my speeches and my lectures giving them to these people in schools. They say, well, marijuana has helped me to enhance my ability to education and further my knowledge in education, and I know a little bit more. Well, I do not believe that, friend. Marijuana left my mind numb, and it's doing it to people. It's just bringing a spirit of frivolity, and this thing is happening so much, friend. And the rates are climbing. The things I know people have asked me, is it going down? Is it decreasing the problem? Friend, I'll be honest with you. I've looked, and this not problem is not being decreased. Satan is increasing, and he's putting his foot on the accelerator of satanical energy is flowing to our country like an avalanche out of hell. Never before has there been such a worldwide problem that we're facing today with the evil and the powers of marijuana. I think, Christians, I think, friend, you that listening to this tape, I think you need to wake yourself up. Take yourself by the neck, and if you can't seem to shake yourself, put your head and your face in cold water and wake yourself up and see what's happening to innocent 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old kids smoking marijuana. And the fun that we laugh at these kids when they do something funny, we say, oh, look at the little monkey. Look at the little monkey as he's playing around. And pretty soon that little monkey is going to turn into a gorilla. And you're going to have to cage him in because he's going to become out of hand. He's going to get restless. And by the time he's 18 years old, he's going to bounce out of the house and tell you he's going to go his way and do his own thing. Marijuana has not one thing to help a person become a better person or a better citizen. Now, that's one reason why I am opposed to marijuana. Well, for marijuana, we go on to another drug that's been a detriment. It's called methadrine, speed. Speed has been a killer. A young man who was saved in our ministry several years ago, he was from State College. He said under the influence of speed, he would walk late at night and walk into the wooded areas. And as he would go, he said he would be going through the woods, and it seemed like the tree branch, they were just crowding around him and trying to choke him. He said he would run to fields, and he would feel it was, it's a speed, methadrine is a stimulant, by the way. Methadrine will enhance your senses to react fast, to think fast, and to be alert and jumpy at anything that happens. Anything someone says, you immediately respond by looking or saying something back. And this boy was what they call today in the street term is a speed freak. And he was just doing this, going, and he said, like, he felt these things wrapping around him, felt like a bunch of dogs were chasing him, and really he was just all by himself in a secluded area in a farm place, messed up on speed. He had taken so much methadrine. Now, the problem with methadrine is that there are some honest, I keep using the word honest, but some sincere, ignorant to the fact that methadrine is being prescribed today by many doctors, medical doctors, to get people to lose weight, to curb your appetite. And so you get people who have weight problems, people who are sort of heavy and chunky and fat, and they want to lose weight, and because the only way to lose weight, I suppose would be exercise good, curb your appetite, don't eat a lot. You know, I suppose that's the best way to lose weight. Somebody said one of the best ways to lose weight is just push yourself away from the table, you know. But nowadays, we have been prescribed dextrodrine, benzodrine, every kind of stimulant pills taken twice a day, one in the morning and one late in the afternoon, about 3 o'clock. And that will curb your appetite. And you will not have a desire to eat, but yet it will stimulate your senses. It will stimulate you. You will work harder. You will work like a horse. I mean, you will walk fast. You will talk fast. You will react fast. And you will become like a robot walking around. That's speed. Well, you take enough of that, and it starts making you feel good. You feel like you're some kind of Superman or some kind of bionic man or something. And you begin to lose weight. You lose your desire for food, your taste for food. If you do try to eat something, it don't taste right, because that's what benzodrine and methadrine is doing. Well, so now, because people have gotten so immune to the 1, 2, 3, 4 pills a day, now they're starting to shoot it up directly into their veins, intravenous. And methadrine is called and named by many drug addicts and many street people, they call it monster. It's a monster, and I say a big amen to whoever thought of that name. Monster. It's a monster. It's coming into the home, deluding, perverting, corrupting, and taking people into a scene of terrible, horrible nightmare. Speed is a killer. And friend, it bothers me when honest to good going church people can sit at home and take one pill of speed a day to curb their appetite. They're nothing but a bunch of drug addicts themselves. And friend, I want to tell you something. Speed will destroy us. If you want to know someone who's using speed, if they begin to lose weight real fast, if they begin to talk fast and react fast and do everything fast and do not get tired of working, that is a good sign that they are on some kind of stimulant. Doesn't have to be methadrine or benzodrine or dextrodrine. There's different names. Those are the three main names that you'll recognize speed by: methadrine, benzodrine, and dextrodrine. And I remember when I was using drugs, there was times I stayed up for 3 whole days without sleeping Because you do, you not only lose your desire to eat and your appetite for food, but you lose your normal ability to sleep. You stay up. And the only way you can come down from speed and methadrine and benzedrine and dextrodrine and these stimulants called speed that actually follow the smoking of marijuana, the only way you can do it is by using another sedative that I want to talk about now that they call a yellow jacket. It's called a downer. Seconal, red devils, Christmas trees. It's a red devil, and they use these to crash. That's the term the kids use, crash. When you hear your kids talking about, oh, I'm going to crash, that means they're going to sleep. That means they're ready to go to bed. But that's the term they use in the drug culture. I'm crashing, man. I just got through smoking marijuana. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to crash. I'm going to sleep it off. I just got high. I'm going to sleep it off. I'm going to crash. And that's the term that they're using today. I'm going to crash. And they got crash pads all over in our little towns and our major cities across America, in the Midwest, in the South, and in the East, all over. They have crash pads where if these kids' parents don't think about them, these kids will tell their parents, well, I'm going to stay with Susie tonight. And one boy said, well, I'm staying with Tommy. And his father said, I can stay at his home. Well, you know, sometimes you never know what time these kids get home and they can crash. They'll crash somewhere and you'll never know what they did. And the next day they'll try to straighten up. Of course, you can see the abnormal behavior in kids. And listen to me, you parents that are listening to this tape, you may have sons or daughters or grandchildren that may be flirting and flaunting with drugs. You have to come to the conclusion that there's something wrong. Don't sit around and say, well, I don't know how to approach it. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. How can I stop this problem? How can I get to the end of it? Just approach your son or your daughter or your grandson with love and with the compassion and the love of Jesus and tell them, son, daughter, grandson, if something wrong, let Jesus fix it for you. Let him change your life. Oh, methadrine, the killer, the stimulating. It's stimulating the powers in us, making us do things that we would not do. I have known people that have stayed up for one whole week without sleep, and then they have to come down with this other pill that we're going to talk about, the sedatives. These sedatives are for people who have nervous problems, people who work too much, people who strain a lot. People who have nervous problems take sedatives to calm themselves down. What is the number one sedative that begins as a starter to innocent business people? Why, even some clergy take this because of the nerve-wracking experiences they go through in counseling with some church problems or some other problems that people may call a pastor, and those people may not be specifically in the church, but clergy, some honest clergy think that the only way to relieve themselves of the nerve-wracking condition is take some nerve pills. And one of the leading nerve pills in America today, prescribed by hundreds, thousands of doctors, is called Librium. And is usually prescribed in a 10-milligram form. And they have them in 5, in 10s, and in 25 milligrams. And after 25, then you begin to shoot up Librium. And then, of course, after you get tired of Librium, it's not a real strong sedative, but it's strong enough to you know, put you out for a little while. And then from these sedatives, to get off your stimulant and your nervous period of life, then you begin on this road. And the thing is, we're never drug addicts. They say, oh, we're not drug addicts. We're just using them for our health. Now, we're talking about drugs, and I suppose that some of you would probably be maybe offended because if I put in divine healing. But I, as a Christian who has studied and read the Bible, I who have come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the healer of broken souls, of torn up hearts, hearts that have been mashed and perverted and corrupted by drugs. Jesus Christ is a healer, and he can heal your mind if sedatives, if speed, if marijuana, if alcohol has come into your mind. Jesus is the healer, and you can turn to him. And the Bible said, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, that the elders of the church may anoint him with oil, and that they may pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and God again shall raise them up. If you want the reference to that, James chapter 5. So the Bible has much to say about the problems of drugs and deliverance from drugs, and through their sorceries, the 18th chapter of Revelation, these men deceived an entire world. Oh, these sedatives, and how people take them to calm their nerves, to go to sleep at nighttime. There are hundreds and hundreds of Christians today that are taking pills to go to bed at night because putting up with their kids, putting up with the things in the job, putting up with the rat race of life, they cannot seem to get the proper rest, the proper sleep at nighttime. They cannot seem to go past 4 hours of sleep a night. Their sleep is constantly badgered and disturbed. Friend, I'm going to tell you what that is and what that problem's coming from. It is simply coming from the forces of darkness that are opposed to you having a healthy, strong body. And what you need more than a sedative, more than a stimulant, more than a stick of marijuana, more than a can of beer to sit and watch a baseball game in front of your television set, is you need a good old-fashioned prayer meeting that you can get down and say, oh, Jesus, please help me. Please help me that I can overcome these obstacles in my way, that I can overcome and trust him as Savior and Lord and Master of my life. Yes, alcohol and these sedatives can hurt a person. Told you alcohol and these sedatives can hurt people. It can destroy people. I have tried to talk to you from the most simplest side. I hear stories, as I've already spoken to you, about the problem of marijuana. How many kids started smoking marijuana? And as a direct result of smoking marijuana, their lives were twisted and frustrated by sin. How many interviews have I had in penitentiaries? How many interviews have I had in homes of bewildered, disillusioned young people? And yet the problem goes on and on and on. And yet, friend, as I am sitting here talking to you, and you that are hearing me, whether it be in a Sunday school room, as I've already said, in a CA group, in a youth group, or just in a class, marijuana becomes more severe, becomes more strong and more powerful, aimed at destroying our young people and the faith that they have in God. I sat and talked to a boy who had been sentenced for several years, many years in prison. Smoking marijuana got him there. Drinking liquor. I see kids come to our services and sit in the meeting. Drunk, you can smell the alcohol after the meeting as you talk to some of them. They will proudly come up to you and congratulate you on your sermon. And yet they're living a lie and lying to themselves, thinking that they're happy, thinking that they're secure. How many endless hours, how many nights have some of you mothers wept and cried for that son? That son that's no longer a teenager, that son that may be 45 years old, 35 years old with a few kids and a wife and children at stake and a job at stake that he could lose if that habit is not changed, that if God doesn't do something. Yes, the number one instigator of all of these problems is Lucifer himself, Satan. He tries everything to manipulate your mind. Smoking pot, smoking regular cigarettes, nicotine fits, booze. And then we talked about methadrine, speed, dextrodreams, the stimulants that stimulates our body. And then how do people overcome the methadrine problem? They'll overcome it two ways. They come to Jesus Christ and get saved. They come to God and trust him. Or they overcome it with another pill, which is called a sedative, which we've already talked about, these sedatives. But now the number one enemy of all of these drugs put together, the one that is warping, twisting, and confusing the minds of people, largely in our cities, in New York City and in Los Angeles and in Chicago, and in Boston and Maryland, we see heroin destroying people, not by the thousands, not by 1,000 and 2,000, but 3,000, but by 20 and 40 and 50 and 300,000, half a million people addicted to heroin. People who cannot live without 3 or 4 shots of the needle a day. Oh, this is not a joke anymore. Our president of the United States, Richard Melhouse Nixon, when he was the president of the United States, one of the former presidents, launched out a battle and war against drugs. Millions of dollars were spent. Our government is spending thousands of dollars. Our educators are beating their brains out, trying to find out how can they solve the problem, and yet they have come empty-handed. They have come to the conclusion that this generation is different. This generation is psyched up on something. This generation will not listen. This generation is rebellion. This generation does not want to open its ear to the good voice of people who are trying their best to remedy the problem of America. And yet the thousands of dollars and the education and the degrees and the doctors and all the kinds of solutions that we have concocted through our earthly finite minds, man's ingenuity will never be able to solve this crisis. It can only be solved when a person takes the ultimate trip to Calvary's Hill, where they meet Jesus Christ at the cross. Oh, yes, it's a killer, heroin. We have all of these drug addicts, people that are stealing from their parents, stealing from their wives, taking their little kids' things, pawning televisions, pawning cameras and watches and jewelry, doing everything in their power to get money to purchase more heroin. For instance, me, raised in New York City, I seen heroin addicts all the time. I pass them by all the time. Day by day, you can see them on the street corner, trying to get money for another fix, a knife in their pocket, a pistol, something to hold up someone, put a knife to someone's throat, get their wallet, get all the cash they can, go get a fix, steal a car, snatch a pocketbook on the street corner, rob a bank, rob a jewelry store, break into a home, steal a car. These are the things that people have to do to support their habit. And so people that are standing up all over our world and telling us, like our rock and roll groups across America, are polluting and perverting and corrupting the minds of Assembly of God kids, of Baptist kids, of Methodist kids, and telling them through the lyrics of rock and roll music, man, I get high with a little help from my friend. Songs like that, Come On Marianne, and all of these songs like this are nothing but instigating and promoting that drugs is the way out and drugs is the only scene. Drugs has been brought nothing but criminals, crooks, rapists, and killers in our country today. And if anyone could sit there and honestly say drugs has helped to enhance the ability and the recognition of our youth today, they have gotten turned on to this, then my friend, I think you're sick in the mind and you need to be examined. I think you need to be saved. Because there is nothing, one thing, friend, that drugs has done. It crippled me. It made me lose my reputation, my character. I lost out with my family for years. I was nothing but a drug addict. I shot almost $90 worth of heroin every day. Oh yeah, the price has gone up and it's gone down now. It was up then, $10 a bag. Now you can get a $2 bag. Now you can get a $5 bag. And this problem plagued and destroyed and just was killing me. Heroin was my king. That's all I lived for. And yet I can see other people. How did I feel when I was on heroin? I'll tell you how you can spot a heroin addict now. Heroin is a mixture with quinine, an ingredient that causes the human body to itch. And you scratch. And you begin to scratch your face and you begin to scratch your arms. And that is a typical drug addict standing on the corner scratching. Their eyes are bloodshot. They're red. They're nodding. They're sleepy. They feel like they're on top of the world. They think that they know everything. That's a heroin addict for you. But that heroin addict will only carry on and feel that way anywhere between 3 to 6 hours. After that, he's got the monkey on the back again. And the only way to get that monkey off
is shoot up again. And can you believe that there are people in America today that are shooting up 10 and 15 times a day to stay high, to stay secure, to feel strong? Oh, heroin, a killer. Sadly to say that a young lady in a large city took her little baby, walked to a laundromat, and as she walked into the laundromat, she took a little infant baby, put it in the dryer. It was wrapped up in a bundle, like clothes, put a little baby, dropped it in the dryer, put the money in and turned it in the dryer, began to spin, and it burned the baby. Why? Because she was a heroin addict, and she could not support her habit and her little infant baby's habit. So one of them had to go, and she figured she was more important, so she killed her own baby. What can I tell you about the lady who was in her apartment as the police broke in, another heroin addict, and the police broke into the apartment. They found the lady sitting on the stool of her bathroom, totally naked. She was uttering mumbling words. She was in another world, in a trance, high. They looked over and saw that in her hand she had her baby's heart and her baby in a pool of water. Friend, these stories are not being told to you on this tape and on this lesson and in this teaching on drugs and the problems and the whys and the ifs and the how to handle it. Are not to scare you or frighten you, but are to tell you what is happening in a civilized America today. People are living like dogs, acting like dogs, because heroin is trying to rule them. I told you a person would feel superior when he's under the influence of heroin. He'll feel like he's bad. But I'll tell you what happens to a heroin addict. He'll strip himself of every pair of shoes he's got to get another fix. Every pair of good slacks and shirt and necktie, wristwatch, rings, any kind of thing that he has, and sell it. And he would sell his own soul just to be happy on heroin. I'm not talking to you because I've read books. I'm not talking to you because of Newsweek magazine or because of polls taken and government polls that have been taken. Friend, I am talking to you because I have lived and been addicted to heroin and have been in the ghettos for 5 years, right, mixing, rubbing shoulders with hell and Lucifer himself. Pushers that push drugs and sold drugs to 12, 13-year-old, hundreds of homes that I've broken into, cars that I've stolen from my own sisters and my own brothers and my own mother and father. People that I hurt. Why? Because of heroin. And it bothers me because we have people that today in our nation are having the audacity that they want to legalize marijuana. They're wanting to completely legalize marijuana. Legalize every kind of drug and chemical that will hurt and control and dampen and deaden and deceive the mental faculties of America today. But I've got news for you. I believe that in all of this talk that may have sound negative to you, the problems that are happening in America, I guarantee you that at the end of this tape, we're going to be praying. We're going to be having prayer for those of you who are listening, those of you who have sons and daughters and grandchildren that need help and need assistance. You will also have an address where you can write, and I can write you back for personal counseling with you. But I want to tell you something. Even though this problem the devil has brought upon our land is getting out of hand, and the government and the police do not know how to control it, they do not have an earthly remedy for drug addicts. There is only one remedy. And if you're a Christian and you believe this, friend, then you are on the right track, and that is knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. I've already told you that I don't want you to think I'm trying to overemphasize that, because I am not, friend. I can never overemphasize the power of deliverance and salvation in Jesus' name. Heroin, the sixth killer. Pot, cigarettes, booze, speed, sedatives, heroin. And now we've talked, I think, enough about heroin. We've given you illustration after illustration. We've told you what the heroin addict will look like. By the way, the heroin addict will lose weight. He will shoot it into his veins. When his veins collapse, he'll start shooting it into the veins of his legs. When those collapse, he'll start shooting it into the veins of his neck. He will become skinny. His body will have an odor from the drugs. He will not have time to eat properly. He will not bathe normally. When he becomes so strung out. Now, I know that there are some people that are so rich that they can afford it. And that they can take all the baths and they can have all the clean clothes and all the prestige they want to. But the odor and the stench of that horrible drug still comes out on the pores of the body. I can get to an next to a heroin addict and tell you in a minute by the odor that it creates in the body of a person. And the reason this tape is being published and taped and recorded is for the benefit of people in the church and people in across America who do not know the dangers of drugs. I mean, they know it from reading books, but friend, they don't know it from a person who's been right down the road, right in there, right in the ghetto, a junkie, a drug addict, a criminal, a fugitive from the law, but then Jesus found me. Now I'm no longer a fugitive from the law. I'm going to be a son of God. I am a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a child of the King. Nothing in this world is more exciting than to know that a person can be free from the things that I'm talking about. And I'm going to give you the remedy at the end. I've given you many scriptures on how to tackle these problems and overcome them. But at the end, the biggest, most powerful remedy, we're going to be showing to you what it is. Now, there's another drug that's next to heroin. There's another drug that's caused the downfall of American people. Our culture thinks it's funny. Some college professors think it's groovy. Woodstock rock and roll festivals are filled with this one little drug. It's a little tablet. It's a deadening tablet. It's a killer. It's a destroyer. It's called LSD. LSD has been the instigator of the rock and roll acid conventions of the devil. It has baffled, it has warped and destroyed the minds of many people. I talk to teenagers all the time who think LSD is groovy. Oh, it's so sad to me when I have to talk to a parent who comes to a rally of ours, a crusade, and says, my son's taking LSD. My daughter's taking LSD. I don't know what to do. Yes, it was a very decent, normal girl that took LSD and walked in front of a train and was run over. It is decent people that are raised in educated homes, wealthy homes, middle-class homes. The drug problem is not only affecting ghetto low-class people. You see, friend, it is affecting middle class, upper class. Satan has no limit who he will push LSD on. LSD, friend, I cannot describe to you the effects of LSD, really. It'll flip a person so much. You will be in a totally different world and in a different state under the influence of LSD for 13 or 14 hours. Kids brag about the fact that their abilities and their love habits are enhanced. Their sex is enhanced. And all of these things happen in LSD. And so people think that by getting LSD, more love, more groovy, more sex, more enjoyment in life, they can escape reality. But in Christ Jesus, and as a born-again son of God who's washed in the blood, we can have peace and joy and genuine love. And far as sex is concerned, friend, sex done according to the Bible is beautiful. The Bible says the marriage bed, God honors that, is undefiled. And so people trying to find peace out of the peacemaker find themselves in trouble. Why do we have an abundance of overdose today? LSD. People are running from themselves, running from their parents, running from God, and they're turning to LSD. Now, this is the psychedelic drug. This is the hallucinogenic drug. This is the one that brings compulsive and visual hallucinations where people see things, where people think they are someone. People think that they're Spider-Man or Fly-Man. Now, I know this sounds crazy to some of you that are listening to me. Some of you may have never heard this. But people actually think they are some kind of Superman when they're under the influence of LSD. Friend, it is the most deceiving, the most undetermined, unpredicted drug in America. And why do you see, as in our nation, as you drive down the street, you see children in trouble, teenager in trouble, call toll free. Your confidence and trust in us and your counseling would be kept confidential. Runaways. We are having the biggest number of runaways in 1977 than we've ever had. In January of 1977, in the Pentecostal Evangel, a very interesting article came about the thousands of runaways who are leaving their homes, getting those little hippie bags, putting them on their shoulder. And how many times as I crisscross America, as I crisscross the United States and drive in the South and in the East and the Midwest and the West Coast, how many times do I see bewildered flower people on the road hitchhiking, and they haven't printed on their dungaree pants, LSD, 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 LSD. The devil has got this world full of LSD. And the devil has got people believing that the only way to freedom and success and the only way to find yourself is through LSD. The collegians of our universities are more psyched up about Darwin's theory because they get involved in stuff like this under the influence of LSD when they become flower people. Atheistic college professors are getting our generation so psyched up on their view that God is just some kind of person that doesn't care for us. God never existed. The drug culture is booming full guns ahead today. The wicked today are seeking to gratify their own passions. And today there is an uneasy, unhealthy feeling, impatient feeling felt among young people that they can't wait till they're 18 years old. They got to find out for themselves. I've seen hundreds, friend, hundreds of 15, 16-year-old boys and girls hitchhiking on the street. Hitchhiking on the highways of America. You know what they're doing? They're trying to find themselves. You know what happens about 3 weeks of not enough food, not enough nourishment, not enough hitchhikers, not enough people to pick them up, and then they meet hitchhikers on the road who they get together and commit all kinds of sin and evil together. And how many kids are found today dead on the road, dead on the highways? Because they decided to go into the LSD flower world. Now, we had the same kind of problem happen in the Bible. In the book of Exodus, when Moses was gone for a while, that bunch of people that were his followers got restless, uneasy, and impatient. And remember the worshiping of the golden calf? Remember how they took the golden calf and how they worshiped it? Remember what happened there? You know what happened there? That generation became what I call the restless generation. They rebelled. They took their clothes off. They became naked. They were involved in idolatry. They were enslaved, illicit sex. There was a confusion of morals there. And then Moses, the man of God, came down. And of course, you remember the story, how he came and broke the table of stones. He was mad, upset at the people. But yet Moses, the compassionate, sympathetic sin bearer, the man of God, the leader, the type of Christ, Moses, stood and said, God, please forgive them. God, I would that he told God to take his name off the book of life, but give them a chance, even though they were stiff-necked people who disobeyed him. Yet we have people today who are disobeying the very commands of God. They're running their own way, running their own life. One of these days, thank God, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon all flesh. And I believe that young people from all walks of life who have been deceived by marijuana, who've been deceived by methadone, who've been deceived by booze, who've been deceived by heroin, who have been deceived by rebellion, who've been deceived by sex, and who've been deceived by LSD, are going to come home to Jesus. They're going to find the Prince of Peace to be ever waiting to take him in his arms and accept him. Those that have been deceived by heroin, those drug addicts who walk around filthy, dirty, and without taking baths, and those who have got out of jail. And you know, people, the trouble is, friends, some of these people are being caught by the police. They're being put in jail for their crimes, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think people have to be punished for their crimes. I believe in capital punishment. I believe the Bible backs that up. And it bothers me when these people walk out after doing 10 years in prison, and yet they've kicked the monkey. Yes, they got the monkey off the back, but they haven't kicked the monkey on the mind. The monkey's still on the mind. And the only way young people will ever be free from this drug crazy world is when they have the mind of Christ. LSD. What else can I tell you? The flower people, as they go into the rock and roll dances, the syncopation, the music. We have got people promoting LSD through their music. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Animals, the Monkey, all of these groups, friends. Today, some of the things that happen in these concerts, these rock and roll concerts, are plaguing and disturbing to the mind. But I'm so glad that all of these drugs and these chemicals that Satan is using and trying to shove it into the throats of our young people. I'm glad for every chemical of drugs. God's got a promise in the Bible. God's got a promise that he's promised to see us through any crisis, any difficult time, anything that's going to come against you. Jesus said, remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You that are listening, you don't have to worry, because God has got protection for you in a time of crisis. There are promises that you have. I am going to read some of them, but while you're listening to this tape, I want you to take a paper and pencil out, and you can take some of these promises down, because I believe they will be of help to you in a time of trouble. First of all, Psalms, the whole 91st chapter of Psalms. Man, that whole chapter is a chapter of encouragement. Then, of course, as we all know, the 23rd Psalm is a chapter of encouragement. Then we can also turn to Psalms 34:19, Psalms 66, verse 8 and 9, Psalm 69 and 32, Psalm 118 and verse 9, Psalm 121 and verse 8, Psalm 143 and verse 8, Psalm 146 and verse 3, Psalm 147 and verse 11, Ecclesiastes 7 and 14, Ecclesiastes 8 and 12. These are promises of protection for your children, for your family, for you that are listening to this tape, for you that have had the thought of using drugs, for you that have, someone has come up to you with a stick of marijuana and said, come on, smoke, try it. You know what? A young person got saved in one of my meetings, and he got really, I mean, on fire for God. He got a dose of God, I mean, real good dose of God, and he used to smoke marijuana. The next day he went to school, and one of his friends says, hey, man, I got some dynamite grass here, man.
You know what he said?
He said, I got a dynamite. He said, you got a dynamite grass for me. He said, I got a dynamite God to give to you. And see, what we need today is we need to get the dynamics of God instituted back in the pulpit. You that are listening to me, we need our preachers to preach from the pulpit that God is a positive Savior. He can positively save you. He can put a positive view upon your mind. He can give you stability. What we need is an old-fashioned revival of stability, that we can be stable people. We can be strong people. Paul told us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yes, there is a power that is unknown to many people. In Christ Jesus, there is a power that cannot be exhausted. There is a peace that cannot be disturbed. We have an attraction in Christ Jesus that cannot be superseded. Jesus Christ has promised us that we would have deliverance, and that we and our kids would have deliverance through Jesus Christ if we put our trust in him. For you see, I don't care what is happening in the drug culture today. It doesn't faze me one bit today, because the drug seems to be coming in very hard going proportions. I am 100% persuaded that Jesus in these last days is going to blow all of this world crazy drug problem away. He's going to blow it away. And he's going to blow it away not from the face of the earth, but he's going to blow it away from your existence, and he's going to blow into you the spirit of life. Remember the disciples? The Bible says, and the Spirit of God blew into the upper room. And as the Spirit of God blew into the upper room, the people of God felt themselves, as they began to feel that Spirit coming up within them. Their minds were taken completely up, man. Their lives were changed. Their lives became strong witnesses. Why? They had received a fresh anointing. Yes, what is going to counteract the drug problem, I guarantee you, friend, I have prayed about this. I've talked to Jesus about this. What is going to counteract the drug problem, what is going to put tears back into the eyes of young people in a spirit of prayer and consecration, is going to be a fresh new anointing from the Holy Spirit, a touch from Jesus Christ. And God's going to anoint his people. God is going to give us a fresh anointing. And with this fresh anointing, we are going to find that Christ is the King, that Christ is our only satisfaction, and that during these crucial days of looseness, these days of permissiveness, these days of darkness, and these days when people are doing their own thing, God is going to give us a fresh anointing. And with this anointing, we can overcome, and we shall soon live in the holy, holy city where Jesus is King, where Jesus is Lord, and where Jesus will reign. Now I want to take this time to tell